Chapter 5. Edmund had a very clever and complicated plan to get his revenge on Danglars and Villefort. First, he planned to win their trust. Bertuccio was his most loyal servant. Whatever Edmund needed, Bertuccio did. Edmund sent Bertuccio to Danglars to buy his two most beautiful horses, for twice what they cost. The two horses belonged to Danglars' wife, and she didn't know that her husband was selling her horses. When Bertuccio brought the horses back, Edmund had the two horses pull his carriage. He went to Danglars' house to open an account with him. He opened an unlimited credit account. Danglars was shocked by the Count doing such a lavish thing. Madame Danglars didn't find out her horses had been sold until the Count arrived at her house. When she saw them pulling a carriage, she was so angry with her husband that she started shouting at Danglars in front of the Count. Lucien Debray, one of Albert's friends, who the Count had met at breakfast, was at the house. Edmund knew that Lucien was sleeping with Madame Danglars. The two men left the room where Madame Danglars was shouting and went for a walk together. Madame Danglars eventually calmed down. At dinner that night, Edmund gave Madame Danglars back her horses as a gift. Before he took the horses back to Madame Danglars, Edmund trained them to bolt when they went past his house. The next day, Madame de Villefort and her son Edward took Madame Danglars' horses out for a ride. They went past Edmund's house. The two horses bolted with their riders. They were both terrified. Ali the slave was waiting for the horses and caught them both easily by throwing ropes around their necks. He saved them both, but Edward had passed out from fear. Edmund helped Madame de Villefort down from her horse and brought her son back using a special potion that he mixed himself. When Madame de Villefort went home, she told her husband what had happened with the horses. Villefort paid a visit to Edmund to thank him for saving his wife and son. Edmund invited Villefort to sit down, and the two men talked about human justice. "It is strange that we are talking about this. My father, Noirtier, was one of the most powerful men in France. He was loyal to the Emperor. He has been paralyzed by a stroke." "That is natural justice," Villefort told Edmund. When Villefort had gone, Edmund went to see his servant, Haydée. She had her own rooms. Edmund had saved her. "Haydée, you are free to do whatever you want. You can stay here if you want, but if you want to leave and find a new life, you can," Edmund said. "I am your servant. I am loyal to you, and I will never leave you," Haydée replied. "You are still only a child, barely 20 years old. You were sold as a slave after your father died. Whatever you choose to do, please don't tell anyone in Paris who your father was," Edmund said. Haydée agreed. She was in love with Edmund, even though she knew that he didn't feel the same way about her. A few days later, Edmund went to visit Maximilian Morel. He was staying at his sister's house. Julie was married to the clerk. When Edmund entered the house, he was overwhelmed by the peace and love in the house. "What a blessed place you have here. What is it that makes you all so happy?" Edmund asked. our family was saved from disaster by a miracle. This diamond and this red silk purse we keep as a reminder as to the man who saved us, though we have never found out who he really was, Julie explained. It might be an Englishman I once met. He travelled the world doing things for people, Edmund replied. My father believes he knows who it was. It may seem strange to you, but my father thinks that it was his old friend Edmund Dantès acting from beyond the grave, Maximilian said. Edmund hadn't expected that reply. He was upset by this and left the house very quickly. After Edmund had gone, Maximilian left the house to go and meet with the woman he loved. Her name was Valentine de Villefort. She was Villefort's daughter and was engaged to Franz. Villefort wanted Valentine to marry Franz, but Valentine wanted to marry Maximilian. Villefort thought that Maximilian was too poor to marry Valentine, and he seemed to hate the Morel family. Valentine was a very sad girl. Her stepmother hated her, her father ignored her, and she didn't want to marry Franz. Don't worry, you won't have to marry Franz, Maximilian promised her. Before he could say anything else, Edmund arrived at the Villefort house, and Valentine was called into the house. Madame de Villefort, we have met before in Italy, Edmund said, as the Villefort family sat with him. I remember, you are a great doctor, Count. You have saved the lives of two people. Tell me about chemistry. I have always been interested in poisons, Madame de Villefort replied. I am immune to poisons after years of working with them, but the potion that helped your son is a terrible poison if a person takes it in large doses. It makes it look like someone has died of natural causes. If you would like, I will send you a vial of the poison tomorrow, Edmund said. That's very kind of you, Madame de Villefort replied. I must go now, but I am sure that I will see you at the opera tonight, Edmund said as he left. Edmund had a box at the opera. He took Heidi with him, which caused a stir amongst the people he knew. Edmund left Heidi in his box while he went to visit Madame Dangler's box. Albert and Fernand were both in the box. When Heidi saw Fernand, she fainted. Edmund rushed back to the girl. When she was herself again, she told Edmund, "That man, Fernand, he is the man who betrayed my father. He is the reason he is dead, and I was sold as a slave," Heidi cried. Edmund took the girl home without saying anything to anyone. The next day, Albert and Lucien came to see Edmund. Albert got engaged to Dangler's daughter, but didn't want to marry her. She is beautiful and rich, but she is not a nice woman, and my mother doesn't want her as part of our family. I don't want to do anything to cause my mother pain, Albert told the two men. It is better than being a lover of a woman who gambles so much of her husband's money on stocks, Lucien replied. Madame Dangler's risks her husband's money, Edmund asked. Maybe you should teach her a lesson. Give her false news about some stocks and make her lose, Albert teased his friend. Lucien shifted uncomfortably. It was clear to Edmund that Lucien already gave his lover information about stocks that he shouldn't. When the two boys had gone, Edmund met with two gentlemen. The two men were paid to play two parts. One man was to pretend to be a retired nobleman from Italy searching for his kidnapped son. The other man was to pretend to be the kidnapped son. The two men were to tell everyone that they were brought back together by the Count of Monte Cristo at a dinner party on Saturday. Meanwhile, Maximilian went to see Valentine. "Valentine, Franz is coming back to Paris soon," Maximilian told her. "I can't refuse to marry him. It is what my father wants. My stepmother wants me to go to a convent instead. She wants Edward to inherit everything from my father. If I get married, Edward will get nothing. But I am not the only girl that doesn't want to get married. Eugenie Danglars doesn't want to marry Albert. She wants to live her life as an artist and never get married," Valentine said. The two lovers stood at the back gate of the Villefort house and talked. Inside the Villefort house, Villefort and his wife went to the room where Noirtier lived. Noirtier had one servant left, Barrois, who refused to ever leave him. Noirtier's stroke meant that he could see and hear, but he could do nothing else. Only Villefort, Barrois, and Valentine could communicate with the old man. Noirtier loved Valentine and Villefort, and his wife had gone to tell him that she was engaged to Franz. Though Noirtier couldn't move or speak, it was clear to Barrois and Villefort that he was extremely angry. Villefort knew that Franz's father was Noirtier's greatest political enemy. When Valentine came back to the house, Villefort sent her to comfort her grandfather. "Don't worry, grandfather. I don't want to marry Franz," Valentine told him. Noirtier thought to himself, "I will do everything I can to help my Valentine to escape from this unwanted marriage." Noirtier decided to change his will. Barrois brought a lawyer to the house to rewrite it. The will was changed so that if Franz and Valentine got married, all of Noirtier's money would go to the poor instead of to Valentine. Barrois showed the new will to Villefort, but the son was too stubborn. He refused to call off Valentine's engagement. Before anything could be said, the Count of Monte Cristo arrived at the house to invite them to his dinner party. "We would be delighted to come," Madame de Villefort said. "Good. I need to visit a telegraph office. Can you tell me where the best one is?" Edmund asked. "The Spanish line is the best and busiest office," Villefort said. Edmund didn't go to the Spanish line telegraph office. Instead, he went to one that was outside the city of Paris. When he was there, he bribed the telegraph operator to pass along a false report. When the report arrived, Lucien saw it and hurried to see Madame Danglars. "Your husband must sell all of his Spanish bonds now. A report has just come in from Spain. Revolution is about to break out," Lucien told her. Madame Danglars told Danglars about the stocks. The bonds were sold straight away. When the evening paper arrived, it confirmed the report that Lucien had passed on. Danglars was very happy, as he had saved a fortune as the price of the Spanish bonds plummeted. But the next day, the news for Danglars was not so good. The newspaper told him that the rumours of revolution were a mistake. There had been a telegraph message that was incorrectly translated. Because of this mistake, Danglars had lost 1 million francs.